Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. We say amen again. Amen. We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. We are blessed to be on the time side of life. Amen. We hope, trust, and pray that you are in the mindset to worship God this morning. Amen. For God is worthy of our praise. I come here to preach the gospel, and that's my only purpose. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 14 through 18, I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we are here to worship God because God is worthy of our praise. Our mind should not be on anything else but worshiping God. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we are, that word worship is to blow a kiss towards God. It's to blow a kiss in adoration, but not a kiss that's standing up, but to prostrate oneself before a superior. So if you think in your mind spiritually, you are bowing down right now, spiritually worshiping God, giving him his due. A lot of times we find ourselves thinking about the game that's going to happen later on today. We find ourselves thinking about our own problems. But it is time to lay aside the thoughts of this world and focus on the Lord, because he is worthy of praise. I want to thank you for the opportunity. Our great minister, Brother Gary Smith, is out of town with the ministers in Louisiana, and they are teaching and knocking doors and teaching the gospel, so we want to be prayerful for them. For those who came to see Brother Gary preach, I apologize. Next Sunday, he will be back up on stage. For our TV audience, we want to thank you for tuning in. We hope, trust, and pray that one day you decide to come and worship with us. It's one thing to see us on TV, but it's another to actually be in the presence of God's people. And so we invite you, and next time you come, you can sit next to me. We want to thank all of you for deciding to come this morning. We pray that God will be uplifted, that we will be edified by having come here. We are here this morning in the midst of so many tragedies that's going on in this world. You can't help but to turn on the news and you see natural disasters. We ourselves are victims of Hurricane Harvey. At that time, I was at the dispatch center in the Houston Fire Department. I'm a communications captain, and so it just so happened that I was there the Saturday that it came in, and so we worked 24-hour shifts. When Sunday morning came, my time for relief, no one could get there, so I had to stay. When Sunday was completed, nobody was there to come relieve us, so I was there Monday. When Monday was completed, nobody was there to come relieve me, so I was there Tuesday. But thank God the waters had receded somewhat, so somebody was able to relieve me on Wednesday. But we had to go report back on Thursday and be there Friday. So it was basically a week away from the family. And many people thought that, Portia, I told Portia before the storm came, baby, it would be good if you just go drive up to Dallas and you won't have to worry about it. So I can, you know, most likely going to have to stay up at the dispatch center. I had packed all my sardines and I had my peanut butter and jelly ready in case I was ready to buckle down. But Portia was not wanting to leave the house. At that time, she wanted to stay. And we were in a mandatory evacuation zone. And so if you can imagine being the man of your household is away from you, you cannot do anything. As we've all had our own portion of fear and have been affected by the storm, I was affected in the sense that I could not do anything about my family. But that woman was a woman of faith. She wasn't like a tree that's planted by the water. She wasn't moving. God willing, God allowed it to be that although most of the neighborhood was flooded, God allowed it to be that our house did not take on water. And so it is not to the point of, yeah, God looked out for his. We're going to talk about that this morning. Some of us have been affected by this storm. Some of us have been affected, and it has taken a great toll in our life. It has taken a toll on our faith, if we'd be honest about it. Why would God allow water to go into my home? But we are here this morning because God has allowed us to be here, and we ought to give God his due. We are blessed to be alive this morning, and thank God that we were not amongst those who are the death toll. Now, as normally when you call 911, we send it out. We send it out immediately. There's about a 4-minute mark that we have to look at and examine it and send that call out immediately. But there were so many calls for 911 that day that we could not send all of them out. Number one, because the roads were too wet. Some of our engines, we lost some fire trucks too. This disaster. We lost some ambulance to the disaster, and some of our boats broke down. And so because of that, we had so many calls in queue, and people were calling for a number of very different reasons. And you have to, at that point, prioritize. What can we actually send on? What is an emergency and what is not? Normal conditions, we send on everything because emergency is subjective. What is an emergency to you may not be something to somebody else. We got so many calls of people calling 911 because there was water in their home. Although because that is an emergency to you compared to rising water and people being stuck in their attic, that's not as high on the priority list. There were people who had diabetic problems, heart problems that we normally send on that we could not send because the engine simply could not get out of the station. And so there were people that were dealing with many different issues. We sent on house fires, but sometimes our fire trucks couldn't get to the house fire, and some of these houses burned down. We sent on cardiac arrest because if there's anything we can do to try to save that life needs to be saved. We sent on those, but sometimes we couldn't get to the cardiac arrest. Our protocols changed as we got to the, if we come up on a body that's deceased, we call for police and they get the medical examiner and we stay with the body. At that time, during an emergency, we couldn't stay with the deceased. We had to cover them up and leave them. There were so many things that has changed during the time of emergency. And so if you can imagine the tense pressure on the first responders and those who had to send, and we were so caught up in everything, and then people calling 911, and so many things that we just simply could not do. Our hands were tied simply because we are limited what we are able to do as human beings. Many of us have been affected by this, and goes to say, not only that, we've had so many hurricanes this year; it seems like a record number. Florida has been hit. There's been Puerto Rico. And on top of that, we have earthquakes. Earthquakes that are going on in Mexico. Now, Mexico has had 3 earthquakes just this month. And the death toll has risen to over 270 that has passed away. What are we to do in times like these? And who can we go to but the Lord? And so we're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning. We're going to start at the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at a number of different scriptures so we can see how is it possible for me to live a good life in this world? Is it possible for me to build a life that I can avoid calamity? That if I live a certain way, am I guaranteed prosperity in this life? Because there's so much that's going on in this world. And on top of that, we have a leader that is in the Oval Office that goes to the United Nations and says some things. I don't know how you voted. I'm not trying to get political. But if in the playground, let me just take it to the playground. You call me Rocket Man. That's fighting words. And so we are dealing with a world leader that goes to this place of supposed to be unity and causes division. And then not just there, and in the domestic front, in the sports world, he has some things to say. And so we live in a world where there's so much uncertainty. Last time we had this nuclear threat, it was in the 1961. 1961, John F. Kennedy was president, and there was a Cuban Missile Crisis where there was Russian missiles in Cuba. And there was the world was on the brink of destruction. And here now we have some more different types of leaders who have failed to remember the past. And now we are in a state of emergency. And you can get caught up if you watch the news. You can get caught up and be worried. What are we going to do? Am I going to be able to live to see tomorrow? What about my own personal problems? My home is destroyed. It has lost its value. And now I'm having trouble not alone fixing it, there's nobody that's going to want to buy it. our own problems. On top of that, we have problems in our marriages. We have problems on our jobs. We have problems with our children. And so we say, where can we go but to the Lord? And so we look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The Bible reads verse number 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, the teacher says, the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now here's a Solomon that is a older Solomon. A younger Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, we have a number of different scriptures that we go to that is used to use like a gauge or a measuring point. That if I live a life of wisdom, if I live a life that is according to the word of God, then I should be able to be prosperous. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. 3 through 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy neighbor and marrow to your bones. We live by these words. We can quote these words. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Solomon says, get understanding. If you get anything else, get understanding. This is a young Solomon. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a young brother stand up. We can get an idea of a younger brother, because younger men have a different perspective than our older men. Young brother, what's your name? Larry Hamilton, could you stand up? Larry, let everybody see you. Larry, how old are you? 35 years old, young man. Relatively speaking, in the youth, they'll call you old, but you all right. Yeah, I'm on the latter side of that, but praise God. Our brother's a young man, and so I can see Solomon in this age writing the book of Proverbs, and he's writing some things to live by. You can have a seat, brother. And so the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. So we have in our mind, I'm going to stay humble. If I stay humble, I'm going to have a prosperous life. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Proverbs chapter 13, 24. Those who spare the rod hate their children, but those who love them are careful to discipline them. I remember before I had children, I couldn't stand to hear bad kids. I would see them acting out in the store and be like, that couldn't be my child. I'd light them up. And then, lo and behold, I have children. And they, Preston and Allie, have been lit up, let it be known. But then you have a different type of understanding. You know, that you can't beat them for everything. And sometimes they're doing things that you did. And you have a different sense of understanding now that you have children. When you were younger and you don't have children, you have a mindset. So keep living. Keep living if you have not had children. When you see children acting up, just have some of your own and then come talk to me. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 20, whosoever gives heed to instruction prospers. And blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. So if I give heed to instruction, I should be prosperous. I should have some Bill Gates kind of money. But Bible says, and the word wisdom is chokmah in the Hebrew. And it is the divine attribute of God. It is more than just knowledge. It is an invisible force used to guide us in life. It is something that you can tap into. It is like knowledge or skill. You can use wisdom in life to build a good life. You can use wisdom to build a house. You can use wisdom to make a steak. You know not to turn the heat up too high to make that steak. If you want it well done, you'll burn the outsides and you won't be able to have the insides cooked very well. So you have to tone the heat down. Wisdom allows you to know how to make a bed. You make the sheet at the bottom first, tighten it up before you place the comforter over. That way it has a smooth experience, and we do this through experience. Wisdom can help you build things. Bible says In Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 3, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Now, wisdom is used like a cause and effect idea in the book of Proverbs. If I do this, I will prosper. If I am foolish, I will be destroyed. And so you look at this in life, and maybe if I live by this, I will never have calamity in my life. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3, verse 32, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. But is that always true? I'm here to ask you this morning, is that always true? Are we always, if we live and listen to the words of God, are we always at ease and away from harm? Some of us have had guns pointed to us. Some of us have had our houses broken into. Some of us have had life-changing illnesses that no longer allows us to provide the way we used to. So there's cause and effect, but we see that it's not always happening. So when you look at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is more like possibilities. Fear of the Lord plus wisdom equals great things can happen, possibly. No fear of the Lord, if I live foolishly, I will have a poor life, possibly. They are not promises. They are not laws. They are not prophecies. They are things that we can live by, that if we live by them, we have a higher probability of success. But here it is now, when we get to Ecclesiastes, Solomon is lived in his life. He's experienced some things. And he sees that if you think that you're going to live a good life just by using wisdom, you better think twice. And so he opens up the dialogue, meaningless, meaningless. The teacher says, utterly meaningless. He uses that word 38 times in the text. But we, in modern translation, lose the actual meaning. The word, the Hebrew word is havel, which means breath. It means vapor or smoke. Breath, vapor, or smoke. I'm going to say it again so you can know what this word literally means. We've grown up, we listen to it, it says meaningless or vanity, but the word is breath, vapor, smoke. I remember growing up, and some of us still do this today, when it gets cold outside, you take a deep breath and you blow it out. And I used to act like I was smoking. Take a deep breath, and I blow that air, and I'd see my breath for only this time throughout the year. What would happen to that breath? It would be there. I'd be able to see it, and then it what? Vanishes away. Solomon is saying, your life, everything is smoke, vapor, temporary. It's a paradox. You see it there, but when you try to grab it, it's gone. Just when you think you've got life tied up, then things change. You have a good relationship with your mama. You have a great relationship with your daddy, and then life takes them away. One of our brothers in this home, in this congregation, I didn't ask for permission to expose who it is, but he says that he lost his parents at age 16 and 17 within a year apart. He's a wonderful brother. Has done great things in this congregation, but to lose your parents at that point in your life, how would that, most of us would crack. Most of us would not be able to bear the brunt of living in this life. And here it is, we want to build a good life, but Solomon says it's smoke, it's vapor. You see it, it is for a little while, but then it vanishes away. We see that in James chapter 4, verse number 14. The Bible says, yet you know that your life will be tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears a little while, then vanishes away. Your life is a vapor that appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. Your temporary thing. So if I, and if we read the book of Ecclesiastes, we see that if I work for years and years and build this great wealth, when you actually have the wealth, you're too old to enjoy it. And then you have to pass it on to somebody else who comes after you, who did not work for it. Solomon says, this is an evil that I worked my whole life. And here am I. I'm about to be 40 years old next year. And I'm thinking, you know, where am I at in my life? And so far, I don't think I have a midlife crisis just yet. But I've accomplished some things. But over my lifetime, have I accumulated enough wealth that I can pass it on to my children? Do I want to live a life of sacrifice so that I can pass it on or spend everything that I have right now? And if I do that, am I leaving something for them that's going to benefit them? Or am I working for nothing? Because I've seen so many times people have taken the wealth that they've accumulated, that they've inherited, and gone right through it. I got a call yesterday from somebody that had an inheritance, and now they called and asked me for some money. Ran right through it. And their parent hadn't been gone for a year. This is a reality. You work your whole life building up everything, this house that you finally paid off after 30 years, and how much, now you can't even go up the stairs. You work long enough, and now you can buy the nice car. Now you can afford to buy any car you want, but you look like the old man driving the nice car. I'm just telling you how young people see it. I want mine now if I'm gonna do it. Let me drive my nice car right now. But life is havel, it's smoke, it's vapor, it is temporary. Everything that you hold value in your life, Solomon says, is temporary. It has no value. So he discussed three disturbing things, and we're gonna look at them. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible says, he talks about the march of time. The Bible says generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Verse number 11, no one remembers the former generations and even those yet to come. They would not be remembered, those who follow them. I want to put this in perspective. Our youth, they don't remember Thomas Foster. If I mention them, now they haven't heard his preaching. Just grab your mind about that. We have youth that are in our congregation that do not remember Thomas Foster. He has played a major part in our psyche and our spirituality still to this day. There's youth, they don't remember Brother Latin, Brother Alexander, Brother Flem, Sister Mamie Randall, who used to sit up front, Sister Bernice Frazier, Sister Berger. Y'all remember Brother Ashley's cakes? If you ever got to taste the cake, you ain't tasted a cake until you tasted Brother Ashley's cake. And now he's passed on. Pop culture. Most of us know who Mr. Spock is, but ask the child who Mr. Spock is. Leonard Nimoy. Y'all remember him? Star Trek. Oh, we had a lot of fans of Star Trek in the older generation. But you ask a child who Mr. Spock is, they don't know who you're talking about. Billy Dee Williams in Lady Sings the Blues. Y'all remember that? They don't know who Billy Dee Williams is. Three the Hard Way. Y'all remember that movie? Jim Kelly, Fred Williamson's, and Jim Brown. They were some bad brothers. Talk to the kids about that. They won't know who you're talking about. Y'all remember Shaft? Cooley High? They killed Coach Cheese. These kids don't know who they are. But these are movies that are etched in our minds that we remember from a time. Now, I knew it because of my mom. That was a little bit before me. But my mom watched those, and I knew this. Cornbread Earl and Me. There's some movies that I know from my mama. But you mention them to the kids, and they don't know. So the first disturbing thing that Ecclesiastes deal with is that time continues to move on, and you're going to be forgotten. As much as you're trying to be remembered, your life is smoke. It's vapor. It's here for a little while, then it vanishes away, and nobody will remember you. When you think about this, what is the point of this life? And it doesn't mean that it's havel or meaningless. It's just hard to find meaning. It means that it's hard to grasp. As soon as you try to, have you ever tried to grasp smoke? It looks beautiful. It's there, and then you try to grasp it, and it takes another form, and then it goes away. Your life is temporary. And so that brings us to our next point. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 19, the Bible says, surely the fate of human beings is like that of animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over the animals. Everything is smoke, meaningless. That means I'm going to die just like my dog going to die. Rover is in the same place as I am when it comes to death. He said, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, all share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is an evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward, they join the dead. It is our destiny to join the dead. Tupac, all these people that have lived on before us, we're going to join the dead. Grandma, grandpa, we're going to join the dead as well. What I'm saying is and Solomon is saying, it is meaningless in a sense that if we want to find life or meaning in this life without God, it is smoke. It is vapor. You cannot grasp it. And even if you do achieve some level of success, then you pass on. So now generations come and generations go. You won't be remembered and you're going to die. There's a third point that Solomon points out. Number three is the random nature of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11. I have seen something under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. He gets so upset by this. That you can live a life and be wise and still go hungry. That wealth is not to the brilliant. There's some brilliant people in this audience. There's many of you who have A1 minds, but your bank account is not where Bill Gates is, not where Donald Trump's is, and you're still trying to reach that level with this brilliant mind, but you're not able to attain wealth. It is, but I like the New Living Translation. I'm going to read its version. It says, I have observed something under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry. And the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. Now, we can ask for God for deliverance, and God does deliver us. We're not taking God out of this at all. But when you look at how life has happened, there's been some things. We've been passed on promotions. There's been some jobs that we know we needed, that we've been qualified for. But because that person knew the white person, we didn't get the job. And what does that place us in our relationship with God? Are we upset? Some of our houses are still flooded. Still has the damage. We're reminded, God, I serve you every Sunday. I'm at worship, but my house was one of ones that flooded. And so we see other brothers in church. Now, it doesn't mean that because one brother didn't get his house flooded and we had ours flooded, does that mean they're greater in the sight of God than I? When they bought the house, they didn't know if it was going to flood or not. Sometimes it's just a matter of time and chance that you lived in your neighborhood. So don't get high-minded if your house did not get flooded. Ha. Praise God. God looked out for me. Except by the grace of God, when you bought that home, you didn't know. And the next time it may get you and not somebody else. It is except by the grace of God. You give him glory for it, but you don't take pride in the fact that yours have not. As a matter of fact, we need to be lifting our hands and helping those who have been flooded. So what we conclude is that we cannot control our life. We cannot control anything. When you have your children, you have children that's in your hands, that Portia at one time, a number of times, wanted to have another child. Nally is our youngest, and the reason why Nally is our youngest is because Nally did not sleep at night. And I knew that I could not go through another time of a baby in the house not sleeping. It was selfish. But I was getting beat up on the ambulance, then come home to non-sleep. I just like this is the last one. But she wanted to have another child. But I get to thinking about life and the way things are. And so I told Portia to enjoy having the child as it is. And sure enough, she stopped being on milk. We stopped having to change her diaper. We stopped having to take her to daycare, praise God. Now they ride their bikes to school. That time is just passing on. And so now my 7-year-old is no longer the baby in the house. And it seemed to go by so fast. Some of you can attest to that your children used to be in your house. You remember that day like it was yesterday, and now they're gone. That time goes by so quickly. So what's the conclusion of the matter? What can we do in this life? In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 15, Solomon, our wise Solomon, says, "So I command the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat, to drink, and be glad. The joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of their life God has given them under the sun." Verse number 9, chapter 9, verse number 9. "Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun." Solomon says, eat, drink, and be happy. That is the best, and that is the best thing we can do in this life. When you leave here this day, we have a destination to go eat somewhere. That's like the number one thing after worship. Where are we going to eat? Some of us have some food waiting in the oven, waiting for services to get over so we can go get to that roast. Some of us are excited because we go to the 8 o'clock service. We can go watch the football game in its entirety. Praise God. But the best things in life is that, to sit down and eat your food and taste it. Some of us, we get our food and I've been conditioned from the fire department that you better eat fast before the alarm call go off. But at home, when you get home, taste that food. Cut it. Put a little salt on it and enjoy it. Taste that and chew that food, that morsel in your mouth. Now, they say it's healthy to eat the food and chew it up and swallow. You can gain more weight by chewing it up and swallowing it whole. Take time to chew and digest that food. But that is the best, Solomon says, you can do in your life. To eat, to drink, to enjoy your family, to enjoy the sun on your face, to take a walk outside, to live this life and realize that the moment that you have is given to you by God, but if you try to hold it, it's gone. We do it every weekend. We're so happy it's Friday. But before we know it, Monday comes right back around. And when we get depressed, I'll get depressed Sunday nights. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sunday night is like, man, you know, it's waiting for me tomorrow. And we try to grab that weekend, but you can't hold it as much as you try to grab it. And you can eat as much as you want, but it's going, that time comes along. You go on vacation. You save all of this money and you go on this vacation. We was able to go to Jamaica with a group of friends this past year. Praise God. I was there and I was just thankful to be in this place. But the day before we left, not the day of leaving, the day before we left, I'm moping around the place. I'm moping because I realized we got to go back we got to go back to reality. But I try to savor the moment, but it's vapor. It's smoke. Everything in your life is vapor. He says your meaningless life, but it means your vapor life, your smoke life. It is there for a little while. So the arguments that you have in your home, is it really worth it? Is it really worth holding that grudge when you only have a life that is but a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away? When you have this new car, you're paying this huge car note for this vehicle. By the time you get done paying for it, you need a new one. Smoke. vapor. You're spending your life on things that have no value, no eternal, nothing. And so, and you live in this point of depression because you cannot find satisfaction down here on this earth. It was not meant that way. And Solomon says, I've lived some things. I've seen some things, and it's all smoke. And so by the time we get to, when we get to the last book of wisdom, we look at book of Job. And I don't have to go through the chapters. Most of us have heard of the book of Job. We've read the book of Job. But we're going to look at a few chapters in particular, and I'm going to give you this lesson. Now, I love teaching to the youth because they've never heard of the book of Job. We was talking about it in class the other day, and it was brand new to them. That's the fun about teaching Bible class is that the youth are brand new. So you can teach the same thing over and over again. Now, here it is. Job is a man that is upright in the sight of God, has done nothing. He's blameless and upright, the Bible says. And God allows Satan to go and affect him because Satan says, does he not serve you for nothing? He's got wealth. He's got all of these blessings. But if you take these things from him, he'll curse you. And so God allows him to go. And one by one, he loses his flock. He loses his family. And he says, naked have I come to this world, naked will I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, same thing. Satan says, touch him. Make him sick, and he'll curse you. God says, you can do it, but don't take his life. And so now he has boils on the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He is so distraught and destroyed that his wife said, you should curse God and die. And what did he say? You foolish woman. You're speaking foolishly. And he upholds his integrity from chapters 1 and chapter 2. But chapter 3, something changes. Just like you and I, we don't judge Job because Job is an example for all of us. Here it is in chapter 3. Job curses the day he was born. God, would it be that this day never have come or would have happened? That this day of darkness that I was born. And so he's upset. And many of us, we are like Job. We have issues that come in our life that we are totally innocent, that we didn't do anything to deserve. Do you deserve to have a special needs child? But those who have it, they take that child and they love that child. It is their child. But it is a burden that many of us cannot handle. They didn't do anything to deserve that. You go to Texas Children's Hospital and you see those babies in the hospital sick with leukemia. They're dying before they can even live life. They didn't deserve that. They are in a place of difficulty, and the parents not able to financially pay for their care. And some of us have been affected. We have death that's still lingering in our minds. We have illness and pains and hurts, marriage that has broken up years ago, but we still can't get over that person. They are in our life and we see them. Now Facebook allows you to see people. You're connected all the time and you're getting upset and you're distraught. Here it is, Job saying, curse the day I was born. But then Job goes into this oration in chapter 21. I'm going to have Brother Barry read for us. He goes in chapter 21 and he talks about how things are unfair. Life is unfair. Job chapter 21, if you will, Brother Barry.
Then Job replied, listen carefully to my words. Let this be the consolation you give me. Bear with me while I speak, and after I have spoken, mark on.
Now here it is in the midst of this, his friends are going back and forth. They're accusing him like most of us do. If there's something bad happens, let us be known. We don't say it out loud, but there's plausible deniability for us. But we think if something bad happens to somebody, they must have deserved that. What they done did to deserve that. Now here it is, his friends, they go back and forth for several rounds accusing him of things that he did not do. God said he was blameless. God himself said he didn't deserve this. But here it is, he's having trouble in his life. And like many of us, we go and judge as to find the reason why somebody's going through something. And here he is, he says, hold on, let me speak this. And then when I'm done, you can continue to mock on. Continue reading.
Is my complaint directed to man? Why should I be impatient? Not be impatient. Look at me and be astonished. Clap your hand over your mouth. When I think about this, I am terrified. Trembling seizes my body. Why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing in power?
Now here it is, the wicked. They live on and they increase in power. They have money. They have wealth. But we know some people who have died young. But we got people that are in the political realm. People that live in a life, even in our own neighborhood, untouched. They don't worship God at all, but they are fine and prosperous. But we ourselves are suffering. It is not fair. Continue reading.
They see their children established around them, their offspring before their eyes. Their homes are safe and free from fear. The rod of God is not upon them. Their bulls never fail to breed. Their cows calf and do not miscarry. They send forth their children as a flock. Their little ones dance about. They sing to the music of tambourines and harps. They make merry to the sound of the flute. They spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace. Yet they say to God, "Leave us alone. We do not desire to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What would we gain by praying to him?" But their prosperity is not in their own hands. So I stand aloof from the counsel of the wicked. Yet how often is the lamp of the wicked snuffed out? How often does calamity come upon them? The fate God allots in his anger. How often are they like straw before the wind,
now
like chaff swept away by a gale?
Now here it is. Job goes into a great monologue of how it is not fair in this life that we see others who prosper and though we suffer. Then God comes in chapter 38 and he speaks to him and he says, "Where were you when I created the world?" Now this is the answer to you and I, for all of us. When we want to complain and ask why our house have been flooded, why our marriages have not been successful, why we have trouble financially, whatever it is that's going on in our life, God says, "Where were you when I created the world, the foundation of the world? Where were you when I set the stars on high? Can you run the world? Can you have the power to speak into an existence?" And he goes on and he shuts Job and myself up so that I can never question my God. Now here it is at the end. Job, God talks about two beautiful but dangerous beasts that are in the world. And it is like the way it is now. This world is beautiful, but it is dangerous. So he leaves it at that. He doesn't give him an explanation as to why he suffered, as God won't give you an explanation why you suffered. See, many of us, we spend our time asking God, but God is not going to give you a definition as to why. But God gave him back everything that he had and doubled it. But it wasn't necessarily a reward. God just in his infinite wisdom decided to give him everything. So what is Job learned? That regardless of what's going on in my life, I'm going to serve my God. Regardless of how I feel, I'm going to serve my God. Through good times and bad, I'm going to accept the good and the bad. When we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, what is the conclusion of the matter? Now you got to remember that in Ecclesiastes you hear two voices. One who introduces the teacher himself, and then he concludes what the teacher is saying. And he says in chapter 12, verse number 13, "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including everything, whether it be good or evil." What's the conclusion of the matter, church? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is all we can do. When trouble comes again, because it will come again, whether in the form of a hurricane because we live so close to the coast, whether it comes in the form of sickness and death, and we see others prosper that are around us who don't name the name of Christ, the only thing we can do is to fear God and keep his commands. And while we are living our life, enjoy the food. Enjoy the time that we have now. Because there will come a day when we will be brought down in a casket here. And we will, and they will say some wonderful things about us. But we are all headed to the grave. And Solomon says, it is havel. It is smoke. It is vapor. Whatever you're trying to get in this life without God is smoke. It is vapor and it is temporary. I want everybody to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 15. And I'm going to give you this lesson. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 15. Bible says, what is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. What is crooked cannot be straightened. You know, when you see that, it reminds me of some things that are horrible in this life. There are some things that, especially particularly for children. Now I'm gonna get who's the strongest brother on this row? Brother Boyce, I think you're the strongest man here. If you would stand up the congregation and see if you can bend that. What is crooked? This is crooked. Stand up, please. All right. What is crooked cannot be made straight. All right. There's certain things. There's no sense in complaining. There's no sense in complaining about what God has allowed to happen in our life. There's certain things that are crooked that cannot be made straight. And I brought this to help you. Confidence, brother. You can be in that. Oh, you got that? All right. All right, Brother Boyd. Appreciate it. What is crooked, God, no one can make straight. So you can spend your life crying about it. You can spend your life depressed, taking medication for things that will not change your situation. You can drink alcohol and try to deflate the situation temporarily, which is smoke. If you've ever drank alcohol, it's temporary, and then you come back to your senses, and the problem still remains. Everything in this life is temporary. Smoke is havel. Your marriage is that. You may want, oh, baby, I'm going to stay with you forever. Let some trouble come. And if you're able to stay together, it's only 80 years. If you've been married 80 years, and we don't know anybody that's been married that long, but if you've been married 80 years, that is a blip in the grand scheme of things. It is havel. Young people, if you're pursuing a life of wealth, it is havel. It is smoke. It is vapor. You can try to grasp it, but it's not going to, you can't bring anything out of it. The richest woman in the world died last night. She was the owner of L'Oreal. $39.5 billion. And now she's passed on. And she can take nothing with her. The richest woman in the world died last night. Well, my point is, it is temporary. She was 94 years old. And 94 is a long time to live. But it's only a blip. Young people and older folk, fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man. When you sit down before your food, first thank God for it, but you realize this is as good as it gets. We're so focused on maybe the next promotion, maybe the next job, maybe the next person in my life. This person will make me happy. Whatever. No, this is as good as it gets right now, because you're on under the sun. Now, when we talk about getting to heaven, that's a totally different thing. Some joys that we have never felt yet, but it is havel, it is smoke. It is not meaningless, because if our lives were meaningless, there would be no need to send Jesus Christ to save us. Amen. Your life means something, but it means it's smoke. It is vapor. I keep saying that because you've grown up your whole life hearing that your life is meaningless or vanity, but that's not what the original Hebrew word says. So take from it and understand it's here. It's havel. Smoke, vapor. Chokmah is wisdom in Hebrew. Chokmah means it's something that we can tap into. It's called wisdom, and you can build a wonderful life with it, theoretically. You can do the will of God, and God will look after you. But it's not a guarantee for success. And so when you're guaranteed in your mind, you get distraught. But you realize, I'm going to do the best I can while God allows it. And when trouble comes, I'm going to trust in him because I have no other choice. Where else can you go but to the Lord? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Bible says in Luke 13:3, but I tell you, nay, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Matthew 10:32, but whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And we must be baptized. Now, you hear the word, you believe, you repent, you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you have been living a life and you've been chasing after something that is smoke, change it today. Realize that there's only one thing that you can do, and that's to enjoy life while you have it. Learn to hold things with an open hand. We get upset when we try to grab something because you cannot grab it. It is not meant for you to hold. But you live your life in total service to God, realizing what you do have is as good as it gets. Praise God. If you stand subject to the invitation, you can come as we together stand and sing for your encouragement.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Oh, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And